Amen. You made it. I'm excited because this is part four in our series called Insecure. How would you like to be so secure that you're never insecure? Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome? Some of you came here for the first time, and I know how anxious it is to come to a new place for the first time. I visit a church sometimes when we go on vacation. We visit a new church. We try to do it all the time, and I feel so uneasy. But after being there one time, I'm like, oh, okay, I know where everything is, so I'm good now. But how would you like to be so secure that you will never have to be insecure, that you never have to act out, you never have to create drama, you know, because insecurity creates a lot of bad behavior in us. Well, today, that's the kind of message I want to preach. Today's message is called Trust and Security. Today, I want to talk to you about how trusting God will bring maximum security into your life. Whoo! Okay, awesome, Pastor Alex. Go for it. Today I want to talk to you how trusting God will bring maximum security into your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Right here. I know people online are clapping. I want to welcome our online audience. I know last week we had like 58 people. I believe we're going to break it today. So God is good. All right. Now, our inner security, your inner security is attached to trust. So trusting somebody who is the greatest, the most trustful person in the world will bring maximum security into your life. But I know some of you are already asking me a question. Pastor, how is trust going to bring maximum security into my life? I know you're smart, so you're asking this right now, right? So I want to give you a few reasons how trust brings security into our life. Think about it. If you have a trustworthy friend, and they go and hang out with other people, does it make you feel insecure? Or does it make you feel secure? If you can trust the person, you can feel secure. Trust and security go hand in hand. Let me push it further. Husbands, wives, when you trust your wife, you become secure in your home. Wives, if you can trust your husband, it makes you feel secure. No response yet, but that's okay. I'm working on it. All right. If you're dating, let me just say this. If you're dating and you're dating a trustful person who has a plan, ladies, who has a plan, he's going somewhere, you feel secure in that relationship. If he is just fooling around with you, ladies, how does it make you feel? It makes you feel insecure. Security and trust go hand in hand. Let me bring it even closer. Let's say this. Somebody called you, your grandma called you, and she says, I'm sick. You need to come visit me. I'm three states away. If your vehicle is maintained, it has good tires, good brakes, the transmission fluid is good, the oil has been changed, you jump into that vehicle and you drive, not even thinking about that vehicle, correct? But if that vehicle has bad brakes, one bolt tire, okay, ready to pop, strings are showing in that tire, if your transmission is slipping, you can only go backwards sometimes. Right? If your motor is clunking, cluck, 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 and somebody calls you, like your grandma, and says, come visit me, three states away, you sit in that car, and you pray in tongues all the way, hoping the car will not break. You get so much stress, your eyes hurt. Correct? So trust and security go hand in hand. Many of you know I'm a action junkie. I love auctions. That's my addiction. And the thing about auctions is that I used to only be able to go to auctions in like 100 miles radius. Now I go to the auctions 1500 mile radius without ever leaving my home. I can be in bed in the morning and I can be bidding on a big truck somewhere far away. But the problem with auctions online is that you never know what you're going to get. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in Boston. Actually, these auction things have brought me all over the country. I was in Reno last year. I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I was in Philadelphia, like in January. I was in Dallas. I was in El Paso. I mean, I was all over in many years. I just love, you know, and I like to think that I never lose. So I win it. Truck, then I sell it and hopefully make a few bucks here and there. But sometimes you do lose. But let me tell you, driving these trucks are a hoot because you never know what you're getting. Although it says it's a city truck owned by Parks Department, well maintained, and they give you pictures where it looks the best, and then you come in and you look and you see rust there, and you're like, why didn't you take a picture? Oh, now I see why you didn't take a picture from that side, because you didn't want me to see the rust. You only wanted me to see the best part. But driving these trucks is a nail biter. What's going to go bad on this thing? What's going to go bad, right? When you don't know something, you can't trust something. Trust is built over time. Amen. Amen. Trust. We also trust in our bank accounts. Many years ago, I came to the book called Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, and I recommend it. I'm not afraid to give it a plug today, because that book changed our life. It talked about having emergency fund. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he says, you want to live a less stressful life? You want to live a secure life? You got to have an emergency fund that you don't touch no matter what, unless it's an emergency. Some of you are still working on that fund. Praise God, you're on your way. But what happens when you have an emergency fund, you're not afraid to blow a tire. Because you're like, if I blow a tire, I can replace it. It's not ideal. I don't want to blow a tire, but if I need to, I'm not going to go, what am I going to do? Pastor Alex, I don't know what to do. Right? God, what do I do? God, please rescue me. Trust and security are connected. Okay? Trust and security are connected. Now, I've read this. Trust in relationship happens when a husband is able to keep a job. I know some of you are working on keeping your job. I'm not bashing you or not beating you up here. But it makes, ladies, right? A woman feel secure when a man can keep his job. The Bible says if a man does not provide for his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. So Bible bashes the guys who don't work. Okay, so God wants us to work. Okay, no, I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying the Bible. Amen. And so, women, it makes you feel secure if your man works and brings home the money, and you feel like he's reliable. Guys, it makes us feel secure when our woman trusts us, doesn't it? When our woman respects us, it makes us feel secure. Amen. And ladies, if you disrespect your man, you will feel insecure. You know why? Because if you feel like you can disrespect him, then you can't have trust in him, you will feel insecure. It's a big psychology thing. I'm not even going to go into that. All right? So trust is security and is connected to trust. It's connected to trust. The problem with trust in all these things that I just spoke about is that these things are not God. Meaning, they all change. Money are subject to change. My wife Tanya told me a story about her grandparents. They were, I don't know if the right word, it's called misers. Is misers means very cheap? Yeah, okay. All right, perfect. They were misers. They were very cheap. And they lived in a former Republic of Lithuania under USSR. And one day, and they saved money. I mean, they ridiculously saved money, even on toilet paper. And then one day, the whole economic system went crashing down, and inflation made their money, whatever they had, mean their money was nothing in one day. Meaning you could buy whatever they've been saving all their life, being cheap all their life, their money could buy a loaf of bread, all that money. So you cannot trust in money. In 2008, the economy went down, and people who had like $100,000 in their 401k plan had like $1,500 left or something. I don't know. Can't trust. People who had money in retirement lost a lot of money. So you can't trust in money. Because money are subject to change. Things, cars, houses are subject to change. Human beings are subject to change. The only thing that's constant in our life is trusting in the Lord. Because Bible says the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. And so you can put your trust in Him. And by putting your trust in Him, you can live a secure life. People and things are in a constant state of change. Yesterday you could have been rich, but today you're broke. Yesterday you could have been broke, but today God did something in your life. Things are subject to change. Yesterday you were single, today you're married. Amen. Yesterday you were married, today you're... People, things are subject to change. The only thing that's constant that you could trust in, the rock that's immovable, is the Lord God. And I believe God wanted me to feed you today the truth that says, I don't change, you can trust me. You've put trust in people, they have failed you. You've put trust in things before, they have failed you. Why not put your trust in God? I came here with one clear message, and my job is to make you believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, with conjunction of the Holy Spirit, that God never changes and you can trust Him. Amen. Somebody clap your hands. The problem with trusting people, people change. God never changes. In middle school, you were the bestest friends. You got into high school, and now somebody acts like they don't know you. Amen? In elementary school, you made pinky promises that you will be best friends forever. And now in high school, you don't even talk. A boy promised to love you till he got what he wants, what he wanted, and then he said, I don't even know you. And now he talks about you like a slut and a hoe. People are subject to change. God's word and His promises never change. Let's read some word. Yeah, let's clap hands. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. Psalm 125, 1 says this, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. You know what Mount Zion is? It's where Jerusalem is built. God says that mountain will never be moved. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Did you know that someday Jesus will come and establish His kingdom on the Mount of Zion? His feet will land on the Mount of Zion, and He will rule for 1,000 years. And later, after 1,000 years, Satan will be released again. And Bible says He will gather all the nations of the world against Mountain of Zion. But God says He will defeat him, and that will be the end. There will be never any craziness going on in this world. My daughter learned in a daycare, she keeps singing this song, Peace and Harmony. What is that song? Peace and Harmony. She just keeps singing it. Oh, peace and harmony to all the world. Peace and harmony to all the world. Peace and harmony. You know, and I'm like, yes, honey, there's going to be a day when we will have peace and harmony in all the world. And that's when Jesus reigns forever. Amen. And so it says, those who trust in the Lord are as secure. To some of you, these words right now sound foreign. They do. Because you're like, trust in the Lord. Actually, trust in the Lord is the last thing we do. When we run out of all the other options is when we trust in the Lord. And I'm going to show you something today. But I want to read another verse. And this one, if you're new to the Christianity and to the church, will kind of mess with you. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere man or human, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Wow, what's up with that? What do you mean? Curse is everyone who trusts in a man. Isn't trusting good? I mean, I like to think I trust my wife. I like to think I trust my mama. Right? My dad, I trust my dad. But really, what is this? Cursed are those. What is cursed? You know, the word curse sounds kind of religious, but really it means cut off the life source to something. That's what it means. Remember Jesus, some of you maybe may not know this story, because some of us just know few stories from the Bibles, but that's okay. That's why we're here. We're in school. We're learning, okay? And Jesus was walking by a fig tree one day, and this fig tree was beautiful. It had amazing green leaves on that tree. So as he was walking, he was hungry, Jesus. And he went up and he looked and he says, where's the fruit? And you know what he says? May you never have fruit on you ever again. And he walks away. And his disciples like, that's weird. What was that all about? Next day, they're walking by this tree, and the tree is dry. It's dead. Jesus is a tree killer. What's up with him? I think he was showing us a principle that if you don't have fruit and you just look good but no fruit, source of life will be cut off. Okay, so curse is cutting off the life source. So let's say this, you have water going into your garden and somebody cuts it off. And then you're like, what's going on? Why? Where's the water? So that's what curse means, cuts off the source or life, source of life away. And so God says, go ahead, put that verse back, is verse 5, curse are those who put their trust in mere human. Now, that verse used to confuse me a little bit because I read in the New Testament, and in the New Testament, Paul writes to these different churches and he says, I trust you guys. I have confidence in you guys that you will do so and so and so. So which is it? So which is it? Are we cursed for trusting? Is Paul cursed for trusting in these different churches that he writes to? No, I don't think so. How do we reconcile these two things? Cursed is he who trusts in God, and Paul's saying, I trust you guys to do what's right. Hold on. They're talking. Here's the answer. They're talking about two different trusts. There is a trust that only God can enjoy in our life, and there's trust that people can enjoy in our life. Do you know that when I trust my wife, I don't trust her like I trust God? When I trust that in my savings account, I can't trust it like I trust God, because those things are changing. If I trust my truck, I don't trust it like I trust God. See, it's talking about two different trusts. The only trust that we fully, 100% put into is God, and we never put anything above it. You can't put your vehicle against over God and trust that. You can't put your boyfriend or girlfriend and put him above God and say, I trust them. Well, we don't actually say it, but with our actions we do it. Sometimes we are willing to give up worshiping God because we have to work or we take an extra hours. Help me out. That's putting money above God. Sometimes we put our spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend above God. And we say, God, yeah, he'll wait. He, you know, he's always there. Now I'm going to spend all my time with my spouse. Guys, I want to tell you a sad story. When we started this church, we had this family that came in. And they gave their life to Jesus. And they showed up for a week or two or three. You know, in America, I've noticed that we like new things. And we treat church the same way. So we come to our church, it's new. It's like, yeah, I love Pastor Alex. And then a month later, you're like, yeah, I heard all his jokes now. I had people come and say, Pastor, I'm never leaving. And those are the most dangerous people. Never say that to me. Because usually they're gone next week. I'm like, you don't have to tell me that you're not leaving. Not unless you're thinking about leaving, okay? Then you just tell me, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, that's okay. I mean, we have an off-ramp in this church. So you're not stuck here. Nobody's holding you here. Okay, so you're not forced to be here, you know. But when you come, and if God moves you somewhere else, you can say, okay, write me a letter, write me an email, or meet with me and say, Pastor, I feel like God is moving me. And that's okay too. I'm not going to hate you. It's going to hurt. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend. You know, it hurts. You know, I love you. When you become part of this church, I love you. And then when you leave, it's like, what did I do wrong? Why did they leave? But that's the thing. I've been learning not to trust in people. And especially the people say, I'll never leave you, Pastor. I'm like, oh, please. When are you going? When are you going? But anyway, in the beginning of this church, I had this family. They were on fire for God. And then they disappeared. And I was, I didn't have a lot of people. So I went and visited them. You know, knocked on the door. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? I don't do that anymore. Because people feel awkward. Pastor coming to their door and maybe they're not. Yeah, in the evening, you know, they've... Anyway. I come in and they're like, Pastor, we don't have time for God. For the church, they said, and for God. Because we got to spend time with our family. And I remember that story because I was like, why not spend time with your family in the house of God? Isn't that better? But maybe that's how I grew up. So I was like, maybe that's how I grew up. Maybe they have different values. 6 months later, they were spending time with their family. The wife, the husband caught the wife cheating. And their family broke up, fell apart. And there was their family. And I remember that because I said, putting your trust in your family even. Putting your trust in yourself. Putting your family above God. Putting your family above God. And Bible says cursed is everyone who puts people trust in man above God. That's what it really means. However, God was not done with this family. This was not the end. It is a sad story. Finally, the husband, I don't know what happened to the wife, but the husband turned to God. And about a year ago, he came in. He's living far away now. So, and he came in and he said, Pastor, I'm fully on fire for God. I've been going to this church. He told me where he goes. And he says, it changed my life. The Lord is number one in my life. I don't put anything above him. He's like, I'm dragging my kids. I'm telling them, you going with me. And they're growing. They're 20s, you know. The kids are in their 20s. And he's like, I'm dragging them. I'm like, go to church. Worship God. Live for God. Trust God. And I'm like, wow, what a difference. Amen. I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on us when we mess up on him. Sometimes we have to make a trip around the mountain a few times before we finally say, okay, maybe I should trust God. I should trust God in my relationship, in my finances, in everything in my life. I should trust God. I remember when God was teaching me how to trust Him. About 10 years ago, I had a small business. You guys know this story. I talk about my life. So if you've been here for a while, you've heard this like 3 or 4 times. But if you're new, you're going to like this. I had a business, and one day I realized that I had no more work. And I had like 2 or 3 people working for me. I told this story to one of our leaders here. And I just wanted to tell you. And I remember in the morning waking up and having no work. And if you know anything about your small business, when you have a small business, you have employees. And sometimes the reason you go to work is because of your employees. Because they need work. They need to pay their bills, right? I mean, that's just, sometimes I felt like I was going to work for my employees. And they get paid first before I do. It's like, why can't I get paid? It's like, nope, you have to pay them first, and then you pay whatever's left to yourself, you know. Small business, man, I feel you guys. I've been there. I know what you're going through. Okay? And so I woke up in the morning, and I have no work. And I'm like, God, what do I do? He said, trust me. He says, trust me. I said, trust you? I have no work. So he says, go to work. So at that time, I didn't have a shop, so we used to meet at Burger King on East 10th and Cliff. Okay, and I have this routine that I had for 20 years. I'm a routine person. And every morning I go to Burger King and I get croissant sandwich, sausage, egg, and cheese croissant, Diet Coke, and those tater tots. I actually cut out on those right now because they go here now, you know. But when I was in my, you know, teens and 20s, that was fine. But I've been going to that place for 20 years. Have it your way. I've been having it my way for 20 years. Thank you. And so usually the guys are late. Small business guys are late. And so I'm usually sitting in a car, already ate. I ate so quick, like sailors eat, you know, like soldiers eat. 2 minutes. Got to get to work, make money, you know, pay bills. hustle, yeah. And that day, I was eating slowly because I had no work. And I was hoping when the Lord said, go to work, trust me, go to work. Don't call the guys. Don't tell them to not show up. Just go to work. And I felt like maybe by the time I get to work, somebody will call me and I will get a job, or somebody will call me back from the jobs I bid before, and I'll be fine. Here I am. We started at 8, and here I am at 8:30, no work. And I'm like chewing on this croissant sandwich and it's dry already. And the guys are like, what's up? Why? I'm usually like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's go. Get in the car. Close the door. We got to go. Control freak, I know. But this time I was slow. No work. I'm sitting there. I'm like, God, I have to let him go. God says, trust me. And I was like, trust you. Trust you. So I'm sitting there finishing my croissant sandwich. And suddenly God speaks to me through idea. You know, God can speak to you through ideas, meaning I have an idea, and it's a brilliant idea. I know it's God. It wasn't me, because the idea says, look through your book and call some people back who you've already give a bid to. You bid their job. Now call them back. Andre knows this story because now I teach this. Whenever I get invited to speak at a business meetings to businessmen, I tell this story because it's like it's changed my life. And so I call like second or third person on the list, and I said, hey, I give you a bid. Did you have it done yet? And they're like, no, but we were thinking of calling you, just never got to it. I said, well, today's your lucky day. I can give you a little discount. They're like, great, come and do it. And I'm like, really, God? Watch this, watch this. God says, that's not it. I have an idea. I have an idea, and the idea is a confession. And this confession changed my business forever. I began to confess and say this. By the end of the day, I'll have so much work, I don't know what to do. I will not know what to do with it. Is that my phrase or not, Andre? I began to confess, by the end of the day, I'll have so much work, I don't know what to do with. By the end of the day, I'll have so much work. And I began to confess it. Somewhere, either I heard it or I heard it from God, I just begin to say it. So what we do is we go to this job and we do it by noon. It's a big job, but God just in it. You know how when God makes something come alive, you have this extra energy. The work doesn't become boring anymore. You're skipping to work. Give me more. From there, more phone calls came in. By the end of the day, this is a true story, I had work booked for a week. And from that moment on, I never had deficit in the work as long as I ran the business. In this area, I trust God so much, it's not even funny. Now, I don't trust Him in all the areas of my life. There are some areas that I still, you know, I don't know, God, if I can trust You. But in this area, He's taught me to trust Him completely. When you trust somebody, it brings security. And so when small business guys come to me for consulting or talking to me and they say, Pastor Alex, what do I do? I don't have enough work. I say, trust God. And I tell him this story. Trust God. And I begin to teach him on this. And it really works, guys. It really works. God wants to bless you, but He wants you to trust Him. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. God wants you to trust Him. But why is it that usually we trust Him as the last resort? Why is it that when the money is gone, that's when we trust Him? I want to show you a story about a king in Israel, and actually in Judah, and he was the kind of guy too. He was like, God, I trust You, but after I exhaust all other options. His name is King Hezekiah. How many of you heard of King Hezekiah? It's written in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. King Hezekiah was 25 when he became a king of Judah. And so Bible says that he did good in the sight of the Lord. He was a great grandson of King David. And after King David, Solomon came in and he walked away from the Lord. And then after Solomon, his son Rehoboam came in and he walked away from the Lord. And then king after king after king, they all walked away from the Lord and they did evil in the sight of God. Bible says they did detestable things. They would even sacrifice their children to different gods. Sometimes when they would build a house, actually, this is found in archaeology, guys. This is truth found in archaeology. They would get these big basins and they would put kill their child and put it in that container, and they would put it in the foundation of their house to get the blessing of some demon god. That's Israel. This is not pagan nations that surround. These are the chosen people of God. They would walk away from God so much, they would begin to worship different gods and Baal, and they would worship, they would build poles and different temples for different gods, and they would just begin to worship all kinds of demonic things that people around them who were pagan worshiped. Hezekiah came in and he chose to trust God. And so Bible says he destroyed all the temples and high places and the poles that they worshiped. They worshiped the poles, actually. At that time, they had a pole and a snake on it that Moses made in a desert. Do you remember that? They were worshiping and offering incense. Incense, you know. They were offering incense to the bronze snake. Well, Hezekiah was the one who destroyed that. He cut it in pieces. He says, that's it. We're not going to worship any other demon, any other anything. We're going to worship one true God. The temple was beaten down when he became a king. He used gold that God blessed him with, and he overlaid the doors of the temple with gold and silver and things like that. So he restored the temple, which was the national treasure. He restored that. And you would think the guy who worships God will never have any trouble. Not so. Just when you think you trust God, you think, okay, then nothing bad will happen to me. That's not necessarily true. Trusting God changes your perspective. It does not necessarily mean that all the trouble will be taken from you. So on the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, a king of Assyria with about 500,000 army came and began to attack the fortified cities of Judah. What does that mean? He didn't come against Jerusalem, which was the capital of Judah. He started picking off the cities on the outskirts. He would attack him, defeat him, and burn him. And eventually, he came to Jerusalem and surrounded the capital where Hezekiah was. And what they did was they tried to cut the water source, the fountain of water that was going into Jerusalem. So they meant to starve the people and make them, famine them. They meant to bring famine into the city. That's what they would do. They would surround a city and sometimes stay there for 3 years. Actually, Romans did the same thing when they surrounded Jerusalem in 70 AD. They starved people. People were killing and eating each other. That's how evil it became. I mean, just the reality. When people are hungry, they do crazy things. And so King Hezekiah is in this predicament, and he has trusted the Lord. So watch what King Hezekiah does. He's like us. He trusts the Lord when all other options are gone. Let's read this. This is amazing story. 2 Kings 18:14. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. I will pay whatever tribute money you demand if you will only withdraw. So instead of going to God, Hezekiah says, okay, I'll pay you off. Isn't that what we do? God is like our last resort. We'll try everything else for our security, and God is kind of the last thing. So, I have done wrong. I will pay you whatever tributes you demand, only if you withdraw. The king of Assyria then demanded a settlement of more than 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. Guys, this bankrupt Judah. This bankrupt the city of Jerusalem. This bankrupt the people of Israel. Everybody gave whatever they could because they trusted in the king of Assyria that if they pay him off, he'll leave. Next verse. Together this amount, King Hezekiah used all the silver stored in the temple of the Lord and in the palace treasury. So all of it. Next. Hezekiah even stripped the gold from the doors of the Lord's temple and from the doorposts he had overlaid with gold. So the doors that he overlaid with gold, he stripped it back up. Trusting God, he put that gold up there. And now he's trusting in a man, a human, a king who says, if you pay me, I'll leave. And he gave it all to the Assyrian king. And you would think, watch this. You would think the Assyrian king will take his money and say, these guys are poor. No, I can't get nothing else out of them. Let me go. You think that trusting in man is like, okay, once they get what they want out of me, they'll leave. No, they want it all. Satan wants it all. He's not satisfied with just your money. He wants your life. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But watch this. They pay him, and look what the king of Assyria does. Nevertheless, the king of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief, his field commander, and his chief of staff from Lachish with a huge army to confront King Hezekiah. So they pay him, And he says, I'm not leaving. I want it all. With huge army to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem, the Assyrians took up, watch where the Assyrians took up positions. Beside the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool. So they're trying to block the water source. That's where they're positioning themselves. Near the road leading to the field where clothes are washed. So instead of leaving, he says no. He sends his delegation, king of Assyria. Listen to this. He sends his three commanders, pretty much. Three generals. And he says, go and stand in front of the walls and have King Hezekiah come out. I think they were trying to kill King Hezekiah. Because King Hezekiah would not open the gate. He says, I've trusted you once. I'm not going to trust you again. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Guys, let's learn the lesson that once we've trusted people before, let's not trust them again. Let's not make the same mistake. Meaning, I'm not saying don't trust your wife. You need to trust your wife. But don't trust her as God. You need to trust your mom or your husband. You got to trust somebody. You got to trust people around you, but not as you trust God. And so King Hezekiah says, I will not open the gate. Because the army is surrounding Israel and say, open the gate, and this is what we'll do for you. Look at the deceit of King of Assyria. He stands in front of the wall, and on the wall, people of Israel are watching. So delegation of Hezekiah comes out, and delegation of enemy King of Assyria, and they meet. And the delegation of Hezekiah says this, talk to us in Aramaic. We don't want people on the walls to hear everything. And he's like, no, I'm going to talk to you in Hebrew because I am about to bring maximum fear into the hearts of your people. And he says, why do you guys trust in the Lord? Has any other God helped all the other nations we conquered? The Assyrians were the superpower of that day. And so they said, we've conquered everybody. You guys are the only ones who are holding up. And you're the reason you're holding up because you're trusting in the Lord. Just open the gates and this is what we'll do for you. So they offer them an option. We will take you and relocate you and give you a land as good as this. That's what they said. We'll give you olive groves. We'll give you water fountains. We'll give you... Satan can offer you. Your enemy might offer you big things. But really, the only thing he wants is to enslave you. You didn't hear me. The enemy will offer you whatever. But his goal is to enslave you. That drink, it sounds good when you're stressed. But the goal is to... not free you, enslave you. The drugs, you know, they sound good. They will make you feel better. You're so stressed out. You're so anxious, and it will make you feel so much secure, at least at that moment. But really, it's designed to enslave you. And so King of Assyria says, we will relocate you and give you just as good land. And Hezekiah said, I've trusted you once. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. He says, that's it. I have no other options. Because he knew if he was going to open the gate, the first thing they're going to do is kill the king and his family. And then kill people and then sell them as slaves. And so Hezekiah said, I will trust the Lord. Why is it that we trust the Lord as the last option? Guys, our health would be so much better if we trusted the Lord all the time. Did you know that your emotional health suffers when you are insecure? When we trust the Lord, anxiety, it has no room for anxiety in our life. Worry has to flee in our life because we know God will somehow come through for us. But usually we trust God as the last resort. And my message to you today, trust God first. Trust God fully. Trust God today. Trust Him completely. Trust Him forever. Trust Him. And Hezekiah said, no, I will not come out and I will not open the gates. And so he goes and stretches. King Hezekiah goes into the temple. The doors are wood now. Used to be gold, now wood. There is no silver, no gold. There's no majesty in that temple. It just looks plain now. You know, he goes and he falls on his face in the altar of God, at the altar of God, and he says, God, you are a real God. Hear the threats that this man is making, or these people are making against me, and deliver me because I trust you. Don't let your name be put to shame. And he begins to pray and plead with God. And as he's pleading with God, God speaks not to him, but to prophet Isaiah. Hezekiah and Isaiah, they lived in the same time. The book of Isaiah, it's written from that time period. And God speaks to Isaiah. And God says, go tell Hezekiah. You want to know what God said to him? Yes. Watch this. Watch what God says. And this is not just to him. God is, take it as to you. Because right now you're dealing with something in your life. Take it as to you. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. God is serious now. I'm going to use the voice, serious. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. So God sends Isaiah to the king who is on the floor, laying down, stretched before God. He says, tell him this, the armies of Syrians will never enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. So they will not build war engines. They will not build ramps to go over the walls. They will not do that. Somebody's got to receive this, because this is spiritually. The enemy will not win. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you trust God, nothing will prosper. Nothing the devil has will prosper in your life. Only what God has will. They will not enter the city, says the Lord. Oh, if we only believed the Lord. If we only just said, God, I trust you no matter what. For my own honor, this is God, for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. I want to tell you, God says, I will defend you and protect you. For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. Watch what happens. That night, say that night, that night, in a day, King Hezekiah is praying stretched out. In the evening, the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah the prophet. He delivers it to King Hezekiah. And that night, now if you are a new believer, this is going to sound weird to you. This is going to sound like an overkill. But look what happens. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. How big was the army? Because he didn't kill the whole army. He just killed 185,000. How big was this Assyrian army? Probably 500,000 people. No wonder Hezekiah was worried. No wonder Hezekiah was like, I can't fight this guy. But our God is bigger than any army. Our God is bigger than any weapon that is coming against you. Our God is bigger than any landlord that is trying to evict you. Our God is bigger than any car payment or any bank or any system or any political system that will try to put you down. Our God is bigger than that. The angel of the Lord went out into a Syrian camp and killed 185. How did it happen? Well, we know from history that sometimes God caused confusions, right? There was many times in Jewish history, even in modern Jewish history, when God caused confusion. If you study Six-Day War, if you go on YouTube and listen to why Egyptians who had a superior army were defeated in one day by Jews who were attacked on by six nations. The Egyptians testified that they heard a sound that made him tremble. And they said they lost fear to fight. Now, Egyptians are not bad people. But they were going to attack Israel. And God stood up. This is in 1967, people. This is a recent. So God would cause confusion. And you know, a soldier who's afraid is not a soldier anymore. A soldier who is overcome with fear, it's like, that's it. He lost half of his strength. That's it. So what would happen? Did the soldiers started fighting one another? Because it happened before. When God would confuse the army that would come and fight Israel, the soldiers would kill one another. Or was it the angel himself? Because if angel himself can kill 185,000 people, I'm like, man, angels are bad. Don't mess with angels. They're not these fluffy little things they sell in these religious stores and say, hey, buy this little tiny angel, he'll protect you. That's not, this dude is bad. This guy is, whoa, 185. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, we serve a mighty God. If one angel can do that, what about 10 angels? Who is God? Right. If his angels can do that, who is God? How much power does he have? Amen. Amen. This is the God that you can trust. He's not an old man upstairs with a big beard, long beard. He's not Mother Time, Mother Nature. He's not. He's above time, above matter, above space. He created it all. He is an almighty God, and you can trust him. If your mother abandons you, if your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband abandons you, God will still be there. And prophet says, if you is all I have all that I need. God, if you are all that I have, then I have all that I need. But we go to God as a last resort after we have given the gold away. After we've given away the silver. We're like, God, that's it. I have nothing else, so might as well trust you. And God says, just trust me now because I want to bless you. And I want to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I want to bless you. Just put your trust in me. Watch what happened. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. So the angel didn't kill all of them. He just gave them a warning shot. He's like, boys, you better run. I could show you more if I want to. So guess what? The king, his name is Sennacherib of Assyria, broke the camp, meaning he ran. And his remaining soldiers and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. So he's from Nineveh. Jonah preached there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with their swords. Then they escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Syria, and Syrians didn't come back. Trusting in the Lord works. It makes you secure. Trusting in people, you will be disappointed. Trusting in your business, in your money, in your closest even, will disappoint you. Guys, I trust my wife. I do. But I don't trust her like God. She trusts me. But she doesn't trust me like a God. She always tells me, I know you're a guy. I know you're a guy. I trust you, baby, but I know you're a man, just like any man, right? I heard of a story. The pastors gathered together, and they asked one pastor who was old, like 85 years old. They said, Brother John, when did you stop struggling with lust? And he says, well, I'm almost there, I think. You can't trust in a man. Bible says you can't even trust in yourself. Don't trust in yourself. I will do this and this. No, no, no. By the grace of God, I will do this. By the grace of God. Because I trust God. Guys, if you Learn to trust God. It will release you to live in freedom and in security. Meaning, Tanya will preach soon here, and she'll talk about that because this is big. Anyway, you guys got 2 minutes? 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Where's my LeVar buddy? 3 minutes? Wow. Everybody's like, stop. Thank you. All right. Yes, from the back. I got it. All right. Here's why it's better to trust God rather than man. Number one. Ready? I'm going to go quickly. People change. God doesn't. Malachi 3:6. For I'm the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. God doesn't change. Number two. People lie. God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will not make it good? People lie, God does not lie. Number three, people can fail you. God will remain faithful to you. Watch this. If we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot help himself. He cannot deny himself. Here's why you can trust God, because his promises never change towards you. You walk away, his promises are still there. He will draw you back like a prodigal son, but his promises will never. He might discipline you, but he will never abandon you. Listen, this is the promise of God. He might discipline you, but he will never abandon you. He cannot deny who he is. Number four, people get weary and tired. And God is never tired. Isaiah 40:28. This is the guy who prophesied to King Hezekiah. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Number five, people are limited in knowledge. God is omniscient. He knows it all. Number six, man can forget their promises. God will never forget his promises to you. Can a woman forget a nursing child? These days, people do that. And not have the compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget. Yeah, women may forget. Yet I will not forget you. If you're a believer, this is the promise of God to you. I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. He tattooed you almost like that. He can't be removed. I inscribed you. I scratched it out. This is how, what kind of God you serve. You're not serving some demon, some unholy, filthy thing. You're serving a holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing God. He says, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your house, your walls, are continually before me. You're in the palm of my hand. I know your name. God, how can you know my name? There are so many Christians. God says, I know there are so many Christians, but I know you. I'm so big. If my angel could kill 185 in one night, I'm bigger than that. I have inscribed you. I have tattooed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Man can forget their promises. Women can forget their children. God says, I will never leave you. And number seven, this is the last one. People can leave us. God will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. If you can allow your heart to trust God, you will be the most secure person on earth. Nothing will be able to shake you. No man, no woman, nothing will be able to. No financial crisis, no nothing will be able to tear you down and take your peace. If you trust God, you can walk in the maximum joy, in maximum security, in maximum peace. If you trust God. I want to trust God. I want to trust Him in every area of my life. I want every area of my life to be submitted to Him. I want to trust God completely.